Bava Kamma, Perek Tes, Mishnah Yud, 9:10. And this Mishnah is really kind of off topic. In other words, we're not talking about stealing at all here. Since the previous Mishnah had talked about that loophole where you essentially could borrow money against some which you're supposed to return as collateral, we have a similar kind of loophole in a different area of halacha, which is in the realm of nedarim. So the case here, says our Mishnah, is Ha'omer Levno. If a father says to his son, Konam i'ata nehne mishali, which means, I'm not translating, but I'm explaining, it means you are forbidden to enjoy the benefits of my property under by force of a neder. Literally, the translation is something like, if you would benefit from my property, it is forbidden to you as if it were a korban. Konam is like a shorthand for korban. Okay, I don't want to discuss the technicalities of the Dharm over now. The point is that the father is forbidding his son from getting benefit, any benefit, of his property. So, notwithstanding that, imes yireshenu. When the father dies, or should the father die at that point, his property will pass on to his son, according to the normal rules of Yerusha, of inheritance, and the fact that he had made that neder, proscribing benefit of his son, benefit to his son, is of no consequence, and the son inherits it, and he can benefit from it as he likes. The idea is that since the father said something like, Mishali, from my stuff, which would be the same as if he said, Mimeni, or Menischai, from, you know, if he talked about, you know, of my stuff, or of my property, the thought is it's, well, it's his property, but there's sort of a basic rule of nature, so to speak, halachic nature, if you will, which is when a father dies, so then his heirs inherit his stuff, immediately, there's no stopping it. And that would be true here as well. So the fact is that the son definitely inherits what was the father's. And when the father took that neder, he referred to his stuff, which the Chazal understand to mean. He's talking about, like, you know, while it's his stuff. But when it stops being his stuff, now it becomes the son's stuff, the son could once again get benefit from it. If the father wanted to restrict benefit from the son, he could have said both during my life and after my death. And that's exactly the next case of the Mishnah. If the father had said, Bechayav uvamoso, if he says, you may not get benefit from my stuff during my lifetime and even after I die, so now the son will still inherit the property. There's no stopping that. That's like a law of nature, again, sort of axiomatic. But he will be forbidden from getting any benefit from it. So what happens? Immes, should the father die, lo yirshenu, says the Mishnah, he won't inherit it. Now, that's actually not technically true. Really, the son does inherit, meaning, like, legally, he would have rights to those assets, just that he can do nothing with them. So what it means is, lo yirshenu means he is not entitled to get benefit from those assets. So, therefore, what should he do with the stuff he can't get benefit from? Yachzir levanav oleachav. He then, therefore, should pass it back to, I'll call it, the other rightful heirs, the other heirs, which would be, same as in the previous Mishnah, Banav here means the other sons of his father, which, in other words, his brothers and half-brothers. And if there are no other brothers, meaning he's the only son, so then Le'echav means to his brother, that means the father, the late father's brother, who is the heir in the event that the son is, there are, if a person has no children, so then it's his brother who inherits him. Okay? Now, that's because there's no point in inheriting something that you can't get benefit from. Ve'im ein lo, says the Mishnah, if he doesn't have, so we'll understand this Mishnah the same way we did in the previous Mishnah, which is ein lo means he doesn't have the financial wherewithal which would allow him to just forego the benefits of this inheritance. Meaning, let's say, you know, his wife and kids are starving, and if he would, you know, not get the inheritance, so then they're gonna be hungry. So he isn't able to sort of just say, okay, that's what my father said, and therefore there's a loophole he can employ. Tosfos Yonta points out that in the previous Mishnah we said two possibilities, either eino rotze or ein lo, if he doesn't want to or he simply can't. Here we're only saying ein lo, he simply can't, which means this loophole is not for someone who simply wants to get the benefit of his father's stuff. It's just once a person is not, I'll call it perhaps halachically, he's not in practice able to forego the inheritance because he just desperately needs it. At that point, he has a loophole. What's his loophole? Love, the heir, the son, should borrow money from a third party, we'll call it the bank, and then uvale chov banu nifroim, the same as the previous mission. What happened is he gets money that he borrows against the collateral of the assets which are forbidden to him, and then he doesn't repay the loan. Instead, the lender, the creditor, will foreclose and repossess the collateral against which he loans. So in other words, The father had, you know, the Porsche in the driveway. That was the one asset. And the father said, you'll never get benefit of my Porsche. It's forbidden to you as a korban, both my life and after I die. Now, that's the only thing the kid's going to inherit. So what happens is, the kid will go to the bank, borrow money against the Porsche. And then the bank will, you know, he'll have his $40,000. And the bank will then go and get the Porsche. And the idea is that since the bank is taking it themselves, he's not taking possession of the car, he's not handing it over to the bank is taking it unilaterally, that's not considered to be him getting direct benefit. This really is built on an idea that we have in Nedarim, which is even one who says he'll never give benefit to another person is allowed to pay off his debts. That's not considered to be a direct benefit. That's sort of consistent with things we learned in Darim and also in Shkalim, etc. Sort of not, it's beyond the scope to explore that further, but the rule is indeed just that paying off a debt is not considered a direct benefit to someone, and therefore the loophole is the son can borrow against the asset that he's forbidden to get benefit from, and then the lender will just repossess it, and the son therefore can get the financial benefits without taking actual physical possession or getting direct benefit of that which was forbidden to him.